Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Hashtag Health. I'm your host, Eray Yilmaz, a second year medical student at Schulich School of Medicine and Dentistry, and I got two exciting guests for our episode today on AI and medical imaging. In an age where technology is revolutionizing medicine day by day, our team want to explore how POCUS, or point of care ultrasound, transforms patient care. POCUS is such an important tool because it brings ultrasound to the patient's bedside, allowing for rapid diagnoses that can change patient management in real time. You can quite literally see what's happening within the patient while deciding how to proceed with management in an evidence-based manner. Now, when coupled with AI, new applications arise from this technology, such as the potential to have the POCUS machine interpret findings from the images, and that's exactly what we're going to discuss today. Joining us, I'm extremely lucky to have Dr. Rob Arntfield and Dr. Ross Prager as our guest speakers. Dr. Arntfield is an intensivist here at the London Health Sciences Center. However, outside of his time as a clinician, he also co-authored a book on POCUS and founded his own company called DeepBreathe, where he does research into creating an AI-powered POCUS machine. Dr. Prager is also an ICU doctor, who recently joined the LHSC and is also involved with DeepBreathe's work. Both of these physicians are at the forefront of innovation in medicine, and I'm excited to hear their thoughts on the current state of AI in POCUS. Let's get right into the interview. First of all, welcome to the podcast, Dr. Arntfield and Dr. Prager. I'm so excited to have you guys here, especially because I've been interested in medical imaging for a while and AI and medical imaging for a while, so I'm sure I have a lot to learn from you guys. Now, before we start, do you guys mind quickly introducing yourselves and sharing what your work looks like in the LHSC and beyond?
Hello. Thanks for having us on the podcast here. My name is Ross. I'm an intensivist here at London Health Sciences and a clinical researcher looking at ultrasound, how we share knowledge within medicine, and then also AI in ultrasound itself. So just glad to be here and thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's Rob here. I'm an intensivist and I guess physician innovator at London Health Sciences Center and Western University. And yeah, really admire the work you're doing with this podcast, you and your teammates, and happy if we can contribute something to the corpus of your interesting work that you've already done.
Thank you guys both very much for the introduction and your nice words, Dr. Arntfield. And again, welcome to Hashtag Health. So before we jump in to kind of the AI component of this talk, I want to familiarize the audience with the term POCUS. It is a relatively new technology, I'd say, that's been gaining traction with these last few years. But can you guys describe what it is exactly and how it differs from traditional ultrasound imaging?
Absolutely. Point of care ultrasound is really the application of ultrasound at the bedside by frontline clinicians. This differs from the traditional ultrasound where you put in the order in the computer, you put in the order in the chart, you call down to the radiology department, and that ultrasound tech comes up when they're available on their schedule. This is integrating ultrasound at real time at the bedside to answer time-pressing questions. And you know what? I think it's worth taking a look a little bit at the history of point-of-care ultrasound, which really originated in the emergency department. Back then and even now, it was really hard to get diagnostic testing to look inside the patient for the acutely ill patient. So physicians and emergency physicians in particular picked up the ultrasound probe and they put it on. They said, whoa, instead of having a stethoscope here where we're trying to listen and divine a murmur, and is that the S1? Is that the S2? They took the probe and they could actually see the valve that was leaking or the valve that was tight and visualize that at the bedside. They could look inside the abdomen, look for bleeding in the acutely ill trauma patient and use that to change the management. And really in the past 20, 30 years, this has expanded throughout medicine. It's used on the hospital wards to answer daily questions about patients that are having difficulty breathing. It's used in the intensive care unit to guide procedures and to answer in complex hemodynamic questions. And it's expanded beyond the hospital itself. And it's being used in primary care clinics to screen for aortic aneurysms. It's used on the space station, actually, to rule out pneumothorax. So POCUS has really expanded throughout the world and has changed the way that we approach diagnosis at the bedside by allowing us to see inside the body in real time and actually figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm. So in medical school, a lot of, I guess, the conversations around POCUS has become in the context of the emergency department. So I was just wondering, why is POCUS specifically useful in the emergency department? And is it kind of a way to change your clinical management on the spot, depending on what you find in the POCUS?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I might hand that over to Dr. Arntfield here. I mean, as one of the pioneers in emergency medicine POCUS, Rob, do you remember the first time you actually picked up an ultrasound probe and said, like, wow, like this is something special?
Yeah, so By point of reference, though, I practice critical care. I did an entire five-year emergency medicine residency, and I owe a great amount of gratitude to the emergency department here at Western and the faculty there who trained me to be a doctor. And among the tools that was coming to maturity when I was in my residency was point of care ultrasound. And so those early days were focused on binary rule in, rule out kind of questions. The most iconic of which would be, at least locally, where we see a lot of blunt trauma, would be the FAST exam, which looks for internal hemorrhage in the torso and the abdomen in particular. And so those early days when you saw the power of probe on the belly identifying, you know, a bleeding situation in an unstable patient and that patient going immediately to the operating room, sort of the early days where you realize the diagnostic influence of the technology, especially as some of us have also seen the predecessor to the FAST exam, which was effectively a mini laparotomy done at the bedside in the trauma bay, where you'd cut in to near the umbilicus and you would, you know, swish around some saline and see how bloody it was when it came back, something called a diagnostic peritoneal lavage. And so to compare sort of the 1960s technology of the DPL with the FAST exam was sort of this like light bulb moment where the power of ultrasound, the power of innovation, the power of miniaturization of ultrasound, and the democratization of that technology or that ability to answer that clinical question, internal bleeding and trauma, to not just be in the hands of a surgeon who could cut into the abdomen, but the emergency physicians and now, you know, medical students, nurse practitioners, pre-hospital workers, anyone who can learn the fairly basic technique, that was a huge light bulb moment. And again, in keeping with sort of the initial origin of ultrasound in the emergency department that you've alluded to.
And that just made me think, some of the physicians in my classes so far, I've kind of described POCUS as almost an extension of the physical exam. And I'm just wondering how common practice the use of POCUS has become in the emergency room and critical care, or is it still kind of finding its way in?
Yeah, a great question. I do conceptualize POCUS as an extension of the physical exam in many ways. I think that how widespread POCUS has been adopted varies a little bit based on your setting. Here at Western and in London in particular, we're very fortunate that we have pioneers in the field. And so it really is part of the drinking water here. When you assess an unstable patient, it is expected that part of your examination in real time is applying the use of point of care ultrasound. And I know that with the works of many colleagues in different specialties here, this is extended to the ward, to the emergency department, to the operating room and the perioperative environment as well. So I certainly think it is part of the physical exam, maybe not widespread yet across Canada. And I think with increased efforts in knowledge translation and translating evidence into practice, we are seeing increased adoption in essentially across the country. And I hope that that continues. One important part about that will be adopting that in medical schools and having this taught to the undergraduate level so that everyone's graduating medical school with a core competency in POCUS that, depending on their clinical setting and their residency training, they can then apply to whatever environment they end up going to. But I think the core skills are being taught at medical school, and that's a huge step towards widespread adoption of POCUS throughout Canada.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that illustration of POCUS. I feel like that really gives a good idea of what that technology can do. I want to kind of bring in the AI component of this and the work done at Deep Breathe. Could you please describe what the word AI-powered POCUS means and how AI is kind of being leveraged to enhance patient outcomes in the context of POCUS?
Absolutely. AI-powered POCUS, or AI-assisted point-of-care ultrasound, refers to having clinicians still perform the point-of-care ultrasound, but AI integrated in some component of synthesis or interpretation of that data. And one of the biggest limitations of point-of-care ultrasound is not so much the application. It's pretty easy once you get a bit of experience with it. You can put the probe on, you can see the heart, you can see the lung, you can really visualize things quite easily. The hard part and what limits its adoption throughout Canada and throughout different departments in the hospital is really the expertise to interpret point-of-care ultrasound. And so with AI-powered solutions, we're really hoping that we can automate and improve the accuracy of the interpretation of point-of-care ultrasound such that it can be applied by anyone in the hospital at any time. And with that extra layer of safety and confidence in the interpretation that it's being used responsibly. Think about it a little bit like ECGs right now. So ECGs, when you order one in the hospital, come out with an interpretation on it. And when the ECG reporting says that it's normal, that's really accurate, and it says that this is something you don't have to worry about. And when it's abnormal, it flags it. And then that's when you have to direct your attention. Mm-hmm. We imagine a future where POCUS is similar, that the normal POCUS finding is reported, says, and you can say with high confidence that this is a normal POCUS finding. And when there's abnormalities, you get drawn to that abnormality using AI augmented technology so that the clinician can then focus, kind of filter out some of that signal to noise ratio and really focus on the cases that their attention and expertise is going to be particularly valuable. So certainly not a replacement for point of care ultrasound, but an augmenting and something that just allows clinicians to amplify and scale their expertise throughout the hospital.
Yeah, so as far as I understand, it's not almost like a hard diagnosis, but rather a guide for physicians to kind of focus or more attention on some ultrasound images rather than others.
Correct. Yeah. I don't think as physicians, we want our jobs to be replaced by AI. I think there may be a superficial fear from some clinicians who don't understand AI technologies that, well, no, like you could never replace me. And that's certainly not the intent here. And that's certainly not the vision with Deep Breathe and the vision with AI ultrasound technology in general. Instead, it's about augmenting our diagnostic potential, reducing errors, improving confidence, and making our process of diagnosis more streamlined.
Thank you.
If I could just add to that, not to belabor the point, but I would say that I agree entirely with Ross's outlook on the way that we will start with AI assistance with ultrasound for physicians, appreciating that, you know, if you look at the technologic roadmap, however, towards eventual autonomy, we can use self-driving cars as an example. You know, many of people have basic cruise control, some have adaptive cruise control, some have, you know, further progressions in their automations within their car that largely turns over some of the controls to the car. And then the car lets you know when systems or patterns are abnormal, and you kind of resume your higher level attention to the road at that point. And so I think there's a similar, you know, but eventually the dream and the goal in many ways is to achieve better than human level driving by automating all the cars, potentially. That's the vision of those who are in favor of autonomous driving. And that's a, you know, somewhat of a contentious point. And in medicine as well, and whether it relates to ultrasound or other forms of automation, clearly we know that human performance can be flawed and can be tired and can be distracted. And, you know, these automations also hold a great promise to create a standardization and otherwise user-dependent area, which includes, as Ross alluded to, anything visual field of medicine, where our eyes or our brain can fail us, no matter how experienced we are, whether it's an ECG or an ultrasound. And eventually, you know, the ability to allow full self-driving in particular applications, by analogy, that is, you know, allowing any trained healthcare professional of any kind to address the scope of their questions at the bedside with using ultrasound technology and AI. It may not look like point of care ultrasound even. It might look like a completely different device, but it might rely on ultrasound technology and it might rely on AI. And so I think there's still room, but there's still going to be need, as Ross points out, for a driver in the driver's seat to take control of the wheel when it's necessary. I just think those cases may become more selective, back to Ross's point about the signal to noise ratio. And I, you know, we all need to be open-minded about that, territoriality about, you know, what you want to do or you should do or what you're trained to do. We're all going to need to be quite adaptive. And that includes you, Edi, and your colleagues who are going to be trained in techniques that are almost assuredly already obsolete just because of the glacial pace of medical school curricular development, but are especially going to be subject to disruption, you know, as you come to maturity through residency and start your practices, no matter what specialties you choose.
I really like the car analogy, especially. I think that's a really good way to conceptualize the whole idea of getting AI into healthcare. So kind of talking about Deep Breathe a bit more, I've been reading the website, incredible work, and it seems like technology has been developed to identify pleural effusions, pneumothorax, and abnormal lung tissue. So this is, I find it pretty incredible that you're able to train a machine to be able to detect these. And I was wondering kind of what the future steps were for Deep Breathe. Is the ultimate goal to be able to disseminate these AI-powered POCUS machines across Canada?
Yeah, great question. So I think when I conceptualize the work that we're doing here at Deep Breathe, there's a couple components. So the first is the validation of these lung ultrasound automated detection models. And exactly as you allude to, this is for consolidation, for pleural effusion, for A-line or B-line pattern representing, for example, pulmonary edema or an interstitial syndrome, we'd say, which could include infectious or ARDS or COVID or pulmonary edema. And then also lung sliding as well. And so significant work is going on right now to take our data sets and validate these models and create these models that can accurately detect it. The next phase of our research right now is looking at the clinical application. How can we apply this at the bedside? And this is looking at it prospectively, not just saying in silico on a computer here, how does our model do? No, how does it apply actually at the bedside if we're applying it in real time? And a great example of that is our kind of beeline classifier that was developed by Dr. Davey, Dr. Arnfield, and the rest of the team here. And this was applied at the bedside in real time to detect the presence of abnormal interstitial pattern and could do so with remarkable accuracy. And this isn't kind of collecting a clip and bringing it on the computer. It would actually tell you the prediction in real time at the bedside, which really is where the future of point-of-care ultrasound and AI point-of-care ultrasound is. Because this isn't something that we can go over to the computer to 2 hours later after the processing is done. We need to know as clinicians on the front line what's happening right now. And this was really a huge proof of concept for DeepBreathe that we can actually, this isn't just something that we're talking about. We're doing it. And this is real-time application of AI POCUS, which was really exciting. We're now applying this to other kind of domains. So you alluded to the lung ultrasound, the lung sliding classification. And currently we're trying to prospectively validate it in a similar sense, whether or not the prediction used in real time, how that compares to expert opinion and expert kind of consensus. And that's something that we're working on right now with the hope that these real-time technologies will be the future. And whether they're integrated into a standalone device, whether they're integrated into other vendors' hardware, the hope is that this would be something that clinicians can apply at the real-time level.
Thank you all for joining us today on our first episode of 2 about the implementation of AI in medical imaging. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have today, but we got some invaluable insights into how powerful AI-powered POCUS can be. This technology definitely has some exciting applications in its near future, and the boost in efficiency seems to be its most promising advantage. Make sure not to miss our second episode, where I continue interviewing Dr. Arnfield and Dr. Prager about the future of AI in medical imaging. See you next time.